This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. and it's time for the coffee table. This morning on the coffee table, it is the state of the station. KBBI's spring membership drive week begins Friday, and we're going to do a preview and really get into it and see what's happening over the past year with KBBI. Guests this morning, Josh Krohn, KBBI General Manager. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, folks.
Oh, you sound great. Yeah. And Lauren Barrett, Development Director for KBBI. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
And thank you for the notes. Oh, here's what I wanted to say. Nicole Arevalo. Nicole Arevalo, do you read?
I got you, Kathleen. You got me?
We've got you loud and clear. Nicole Arevalo is KBBI's Board of Directors President, and she is remote from an undisclosed location. And the next thing I want to tell you all is that support for Coffee Table comes from Pier 1 Theater, Homer's Community Theater, supporting community voices. Schedules and information on Pier 1 Productions at 226-2287. And Pier 1's been a sponsor of the Coffee Table probably the entire 18 years I've been around this station.
And probably then some.
Yes, exactly. Josh, I want to start off because there's no introducing you anymore. You've been here long enough. Everybody knows Josh Krohn, KBBI GM. And I'd like to talk about membership support and the upcoming drive and turn the mic over to you and Lauren Barrett.
And I'll have Lauren jump in and assist me here with things as well. But the status of membership support is we are in starting the fourth quarter right now, so we're finishing up our fiscal year. And from here on out until the end of June, it is basically closing out all of the amounts that we need to raise. And we are getting fairly close. We're a little over 75% of our goal for the year. And Lauren, do you want to tell us where we're at on the actual fundraising?
Yeah, so our budgetary goal for this year is $135,000. As of right now, we have about $113,000 and with about 618 members, which is fantastic. You know, it's been a hard year for a lot of folks, and we really, really appreciate how many people have stayed loyal to us and made contributions when they can. It makes a huge difference. Membership support is about 25% of our budget every year, so it is absolutely essential, and it makes this station go.
And that $135,000, that is just membership money raised. That is not underwriting or grants or anything else. $135,000 comes directly from membership. And again, like Lauren said, this has been a difficult year for a lot of people and a lot of organizations, but we are highly impressed with everybody's support over the last year. The community has really stepped forward and shown their support, not just for us, but for all the nonprofits around town, and led the way to make sure that things keep happening and things keep operating. So I can't say thank you enough to all of our members and listeners and donors to the radio station. Thank you for your support. Please donate here on Friday and Saturday during our membership drive and help us reach our goal. We're going for $135,000, which we actually have a smaller goal for this drive. Lauren?
Yeah, so for this drive, over the 2 days, and you know, really starting this week, we're looking to raise $15,000. So Don't think you have to wait for the 2 days. I know sometimes it's on my calendar and then it's a week later and I've totally forgotten. So you can donate anytime. You could call right now. Kim's by the phone, actually. Our number here is 235-7721. I have to say, spring drive is a really hectic time for me, but it's also my favorite when we start getting the phone calls and the notes in from people. Like, I had one the other day telling me that she has her radio station playing all the time to keep the wolves away from her goats. So her goats are just out there hanging out, listening to NPR. Those kind of things just really make my day. It makes all of it worth it.
And some of the best educated goats in Homer, I'm sure. And one of the things that we're pushing this year is the sustaining memberships. It's something that we've been in the process of moving towards for the last couple of years, and it's really taken a critical step forward over the last year. Instead of making a one-time annual donation to KBBI, you can make a once-a-month payment, a sustaining membership to the station. It's more like a subscription, like, you know, you drop $10 a month for a coffee service or something like that. $10 a month to KBBI provides $120 a year of support for KBBI, which is a good level to to go in for supporting the station.
Over the years, it really has changed the way we do things here. Getting sustaining members, it's taken all the stress out of fundraising. Not all, Lauren, I'm sure. However, it has now, it makes it so much easier to make plans and to see what might, you know, and even make big plans because you have some idea of what's coming.
And for planning the finances, it makes it much easier for the station to have a recurring monthly source of income, helps us pay the bills and cover all of our responsibilities instead of having a twice a year accumulation of all of our revenue. And trying to make sure that we hold on to it appropriately, we have this recurring source, which helps us stay on top of things.
Yeah, and feedback from donors has been that it's really helpful for an individual donor, too. Instead of having to come up with a big chunk of change all at once, you just kind of set it up, and you can set it and forget it, mm-hmm. And know that you're making a contribution to your community every month.
So, Lauren and Josh, I brought a sizzle reel upon request, mm-hmm. a sizzle reel of just some things over the course of the hour to let you hear. And since we've been talking about how much we love our members, I'm going to send this out. You heard it in the month of February when Pier One Radio Theater collected Shakespearean sonnets. And there was one every day for the month of February. And this is Curtis Jackson, just to express our love to the membership.
Sonnet 65. Since brass, nor stone, nor earth, nor boundless sea, but sad mortality o'ersways their power, how with this rage shall beauty hold a plea, whose action is no stronger than a flower? Oh, how shall summer's honey breath hold out against the wrackful siege of battering days, when rocks impregnable are not so stout, nor gates of steel so strong, but time decays? O fearful meditation, where alack shall time's best jewel from time's chest lie hid? Or what strong hand can hold his swift foot back? Or who his spoil of beauty can forbid? O none, unless this miracle have might, that in black ink my love may still shine bright.
That's right. Such is the depth of our love for the listenership.
And a fine example there of some of the content that's been produced over the last year in partnership with many organizations around town, including Pier One. And we're going to get back into that here in about half an hour, I think, talking about all of the collaborations that we've had.
Lauren's got a terrific list.
Yes.
But back to financial health.
So, for the financial health for the station, we're looking good right now. I'm working on the budget process for fiscal year 2022 right now, and we're not looking at making any major cuts to anything right now. The revenue that we're going to be bringing in currently is enough to sustain us for another year. Our biggest line in our finances right now is salary for staff, which is pretty normal for us. Our biggest responsibility is paying our employees. Other areas, we're looking pretty good in most areas. I can give you just a quick rundown on some of the fundraising for the year. We have raised $42,000 on underwriting for cash from for-profit companies this year, and over $32,000 for underwriting from nonprofit. Just a couple of the other angles that we raise money from. We also have done well with grants over the last year. Starting, I'm going to go back into mid-2020 here, we had a Alaska Community Foundation grant for $30,000, which helped us get remote gear and remote telework equipment, laptops for staff, and other things like that. The big part of that, and the most exciting part, was the remote access gear for volunteers. We were able to bring our volunteers back in on the air from home, a major accomplishment for us, and we have never been happier to have our volunteers back on the air in whatever capacity we could take them. And given the current conditions right now, we will we'll take it. So. Other finance questions, Kathleen?
Well, I want to know what's coming, although let me check my list, because I have a list. So we know our goals, but I want to know what I just remember you telling me that there was an equipment grant that came, and I'd really like to hear about it. Like, how did you get it? Because I've been trying to pay attention at meetings, but...
was that recently, or...?
To replace all these air purifiers that have come.
Yes.
Also...
So, and actually, that's a grant that's still in progress right now, still working on that. One of the unfortunate things of having everybody working from home over the last year is, as everybody's office computers have been turned off and sat idle, you never really think about this, but when a computer goes cold, sometimes it just doesn't really want to come back.
I think all the work from home people that are making their way back to work now are feeling this thing.
Discovering
this. Exactly
this, yes.
What's happening.
So we have a variety of various aged workstations here for everybody to do their work on, and most of them are about 8 years old or older. So there's already been issues of compatibility and operating system updatability. And then beyond that, with technical failures, we're finding that a lot of these computers, just they're not going to work for us anymore. So we're in the process of working on a grant with the Rasmussen Foundation right now to replace all of the office equipment and also to upgrade the storage for our new automation system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the next thing on my sizzle reel is Desiree Hagen's Homer Grown. And... Desiree started developing this show before everybody had to go home, before last year, but... Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I was going to say, it really is a product of the closures. It was something we were discussing back in January last year. Gosh, it sure would be fun to do a gardening show. Somebody should jump on that and see where they can take it. And Des... volunteered to take that on. She's never produced a show like this before, and she jumped in with both feet and has done a marvelous job. She spent all summer last year traveling the Lower Peninsula and meeting with various agriculture and farm folks and getting just volumes of wonderful information to share with everybody. And we've already started season two this year. Honestly, one of my favorite programs on the air.
Well, I have a little something from that. Here's Desiree Hagen's intro that she wrote and a little something from her show. So just so you know, a new Homer Grown episode airs this Saturday. Join host Desiree Hagen Saturday at 11 a.m. for the latest episode. The topic is hydroponics this week, or growing plants without soil. Sonia Martin-Young, owner of Alaska Aquaponics, talks about her indoor year-round growing system, which utilizes live fish to provide nutrients to her plants. I'm getting so excited. So Alaska Seeds of Change chats how their operation offers outreach, training, and mental health services to at-risk youth in the Anchorage area while simultaneously providing fresh vegetables to local restaurants and the community. And representatives from Alaska Fish and Game discuss an invasive species threat being spread through aquarium and pet supplies. And Nicole Arrivolo, KBBI board president, Homer Soil and Water District employee and partner in Homer Grown, she will have your weekly roundup of events and opportunities in local agriculture. That is all this Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 890 and KBBI.org. Here's Des.
Earlier you mentioned that instead of growing like a home gardener would, you take a market farm approach. What does that mean?
The difference is I'm growing for market. I'm growing for other people and thinking about what the market will bear. And it's also, this is my business. Kyra Wagoner and I have had great conversations about what does sustainable mean. Sustainable agriculture means it not only sustains the soil and sustains the community with food, but it sustains the farmer with their livelihood. The farmer needs to eat. In my home gardener, I just grew a lot of flowers. I didn't want to make lists. It was my release from my other full-time job. It was a pleasure. Growing this garden, the pleasure is expanded because I'm sharing this food with literally thousands of people, not just me and my friends and family. And that is a huge shift. These thousands of people sometimes bring me back their compost, it's a exchange of energy. It's larger than I ever imagined. I'll bring back restaurant compost, compost it, and put it in the soil. And it's like, I'm helping that restaurant make their business viable by selling them food. They're helping me by helping enrich my compost and my soil. So it's a give and take with the businesses in the community, with the customers in the community, with the soil and with my family and with the work trade help on the farm and our interns. It's just so much bigger.
It's synergistic.
That is an excerpt from the upcoming episode of Homer Grown. That is this Saturday at 11 a.m., hosted by and produced by and directed
hey,
and
Kathleen.
Written by. Oh, hey, Nicole Arevalo is with us. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hey, that actually is from an episode from last summer. Those were
thank goodness
Wayne
you're
and
here.
Laura Jenkins from Synergy Gardens. And that episode aired, I do believe, at the end of August or early September. Maybe it was somewhere later in the summer. The upcoming episode on Saturday.
So, Nicole, can you talk a little bit about your experience, the kind of work you do on Homer Grown?
Sure. I'm kind of the back of the house person. So what I do is Desiree usually comes up with the ideas, but sometimes we collaborate on that and we come up with the ideas together. I call all the folks that we might want to interview and make the pitch to them and see if they're amenable to it, schedule all that. For the face-to-face interviews, I haul all the gear around, do the recording, set up the mics, make sure all that's going, and so do the tech end. For some of the interviews, Desiree does them solo, because if they're remote, they're living in another town, and we're not going to go see them face-to-face. She utilizes this thing called CleanFeed that KBBI has been able to procure, which allows for just an over-the-internet connection that's radio quality. My other job is just to really promote it and to advertise it on social media and in my Ag Updates e-newsletter.
Thanks, Nicole. I do want to mention just a couple of others before I throw it back to Lauren and Josh to talk about what's coming up. There's Victoria Wilson Winnie, who makes the Stargazers Report, a volunteer. And I also want to point out that Desiree Hagen, just like producer Jeff Lockwood and program director Matt Strobel, all started as volunteers at KBBI and wanted to stay here and wanted to work here. And so opportunities came and now they're employed here. And Desiree has gone from volunteer to now weekend edition host, hosting our meetings and producing Homer Grown. And if you wanted to be that person, if you wanted to get involved in the brain trust of this station, I'm telling you, there's a path. It's not that hard.
I'm going to add one more onto your list there.
Yeah.
General Manager Josh Krohn also started as a volunteer here. So,
oh, that's right. You were Dick Sanders' intern. Is that correct?
Well, let's see. I took some lessons with David Webster and with Gary Thomas and also Dick Sanders. And, you know, I just absorbed everything I could. And you know, those opportunities are here. We do have opportunities for volunteers to come in and learn pretty much any aspect of the station they'd care to. We have anything ranging from just being on the air and playing music. I say just, I don't mean that as to be dismissive. The volunteers are wonderful and they play the best content, way more than we could ever come up with on our own.
Having our neighbors make up playlists and be with you in the room over the airwaves, it's one of our greatest features.
It really ties the community together.
It certainly has in the last year in ways that I always knew that I always felt like we were doing good work in the right way. Over the last year, I've gotten so much positive feedback from the community that people really do use this radio station as a bridge to mm-hmm. keep people connected.
I also want to mention with volunteer opportunities, and we're going to touch on this here in another 15 minutes or so, but the some of the other roles for volunteers include spending some time on our community advisory board or our board of directors. All of those are volunteer roles, and the station couldn't operate without all these volunteers caring and participating. So very relevant, and if you're interested in being a part of any of that, do get in touch with us.
How about you, Lauren? You need some volunteers?
Always. hopefully by the next drive, we'll be able to have a lot more volunteers in here helping us out, answering phones, giving out coffee, welcoming people into the station. This year's drive, we're still going to be pretty much remote, but we're really, really looking forward to getting you all back in the station. You know, this really is your radio station, and so we want you to feel comfortable coming in and chatting with us and hearing from you what you want to hear more of and what you're liking. We had on our notes here to talk about some of our accomplishments since the fall drive, and the fall drive was fully remote. Now we're able to, at least, you know, we're all sitting here in the studio together, double masked, but we're getting there.
And vaccinated.
And vaccinated, yes, finally. But getting the volunteers back on air has really been probably the biggest accomplishment since the fall drive. Like you said, Kathleen, people have just been ecstatic to be able to hear familiar voices again and have... It's just so fun to turn on the radio and hear great mix of music and kind of get out of your own head for a little bit. So our volunteers have really stepped up.
And I can give you just a quick picture of how the volunteers are able to connect from home. I mentioned the Alaska Community Foundation grant that we got last fall. That paid for 10 iPads and microphones and headphone kits that we have checked out to volunteers. And using this equipment, they are able to log in to the station over the internet to transmit their voice and operate the automation system and use a virtual mixer. So there's no actual physical control surface. It's just a video depiction of what's going on. You can grab the sliders and do whatever you need to on it. It's almost like the real thing. I know folks are going to be really excited to come back in, but a great way to manage things given the circumstances.
Is that what President Arevalo is using right now?
Nicole is on one of those right now.
How's it going, Nicole? Do you think it's easy enough to use?
Yep, I just let the iPad sit over there on that table, and I just make sure you guys can hear me by talking into the mic.
Well, I'll be back. I'll be back shortly to ask you about the CAB. But I think it's almost time. Before we have a dance break, I want to check with Josh Crone, General Manager for KBBI, and Lauren Barrett, Development Director for KBBI. Is there anything on your list that you feel like is timely we need to get to right now? What are we leaving out?
Well, I'm sure we can't mention enough that the drive starts on Friday and goes through Saturday.
That is a good thing to do.
And there's no reason to wait until Friday or Saturday to make a donation. You can always go to our website, kbbi.org, and make a contribution there. You can set up a sustaining membership or a one-time donation there. And, of course, give us a call, 235-7721. We'd be happy to talk with you.
Yeah, and if you're holding out because you saw some of those cool premiums that we have posted on social media, we've got the KBBI Market Tote Bags for members who donate $20 a month or $240 a year. We've got some really nice printed t-shirts from Skiff Chicks Custom Designs here in Homer for members who donate $1 a day or $365 a year. And then if you did not get your mug this last fall, we have the last of Linda Smoger's beautiful, they're like these cross-country skiers in a night sky mugs that she designed, and those were printed locally as well. So we have those for you. And if you donate now, you donate before the drive, or you donate the day after, you can still come pick those up. So don't let that hold you off. We'll have those for you.
So a person could just go to kbbi.org right now.
Right now.
And do all of those things.
Yep.
Or anytime, they could call during regular business hours, call 235-7721. Either way, we appreciate it. But let's have this dance break. It's in the timeline. It's in the plan.
We better get on it.
And this is Matt Hopper, and the song is Darlin'. This is one of Jeff Lockwood's projects. One of the things over the last 3 years, it feels like 3 years. It's been a year. Over the last year is live music from undisclosed locations. Jeff Lockwood has really taken the equipment and used it to bring live music to people while we were all stuck at home or wherever. Yeah, Josh?
And this is another partnership that we've engaged in over the last year. Given that live music venues were closed down last March, musicians lost all of their sources of income. And one of the things that we started doing was broadcasting live concerts with musicians from various places. And Bunnell stepped in and said, you know what, we can do one better. If you can broadcast the concerts, we'll pay the artists. And so they have gotten grants and donations and have paid artists to come in to their gallery or to connect from home and give us all of their live music. So this is where that comes from.
Well, hats off, Bunnell Street Arts Center. Thanks for collaborating with KBBI. Here is Jeff Lockwood's introduction. It says right here, KBBI and Bunnell Street Arts Center have been presenting live music both from Bunnell and from musicians' homes over the last several months. Here's a performance from our latest production, Matt Hopper's performance last Friday, April 16th, of his song, Darlin'.
Sometimes you meet someone who's on their own trip, and even though you're miles apart, you hear the soul clear. I got it bad for you. What's holding me back from your love? You know that I adore you. Don't know nobody else says darling. No, nobody else says darling as you. It's been seasons now, summer's over. The beaches are warm, no pine and clover. I got it bad for you. What's holding me back from your love? You know that I adore you. Don't know nobody else says darling. No, nobody else says darling. Try again to mend our hearts and fly. When will you reply again? I'm not afraid to cry, crying over. Crying over you,
crying over you,
crying over you. Now that you're gone, I sing sad songs. Watch the sunrise, missing your eyes.
That one's called Darlin'.
That is Matt Hopper live from Bunnell Street Arts Center last Friday. And thanks again, Bunnell Street Arts Center, for including KBBI and making us a part of what you do.